Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Blech.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that down. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down. Wait.
Yeah, this is Cassidy, the hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday nights. West West, y'all.
Slob on my cat, get it nice and wet. Check in with me, holla at the chat. Fuck with your girl, lick on my pearl. Suck up all the nuts, like you was a squirrel. Let me on the bed, come between my legs. Ooh, you got me shaking. Grip you by your head, you naughty, naughty boy. You good at this, of course. So what, you got me coming? You did this shit before. Now you wanna hit, cause you took a lick. Leave your dick hard, go holler at your bitch. I met two niggas, said they wanna fuck. One ate my pussy and the other licked my butt. Fucking with this dude, I finna let him hit. He got a fine body with a little bitty dick. Little do he know what I'm all about. Call up my girls, his face on the house. Eat a bitch cat or something. 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 I'm known to be a man, straight up out the south. Looking for the boys with goals in their mouth. Ride niggas goals, it's the shit I do. If the shit is good, you do my whole crew. I'm never saving cap, put it on the map. Talking to a friend, your face in the lap. When I'm on that weed, gotta have my knees. The motion of your thumb make me curl my feet. No, I'm freaking dude in Westwood. Like Nick and Click, does it real good. He the type of dude down for that trickin'. Never wanna bump, just do the licking. You can get me strong when the cap is tight. I'll burn you up, I ain't gon' lie. Call my girls again, time to go out. Hit Bill Street, looking so stout.
Yeah, you already know, man. What it do, King Eric, the ruler, the great, the livest one, shaking them off like the Iverson, and we are now tuning in to episode 440 of an exclusive interview of the livest hip-hop show, Off the Cuff Radio, sponsored by Cocaine Buddy Boy Entertainment, Jesse's Boutique, Core Financial, Da Vinci Clothing, Fleetwood and the Cotton Pickers. What it do, T-Max?
What it do, y'all? It's another Super Sunday fun day. This is Off the Cuff. Shout out to our co-host, the Fair Illa Sandman, the Chinchilla. So Illa, and as King Eric said, tonight is one of our most exclusive episodes. And for y'all that already know, I'm going to shout out some of the hoods here because our guests, we will be remiss without recognizing some of the illest, the realest blocks. We got to shout out Parkway, Bright Haven, Berkeley, Highland. We got to shout out McMillan. We got to shout out Frazier. we got to shout out all of Memphis. And King, go ahead and let everybody know the queen that we got coming in tonight, man.
Tell y'all something, man. Possibly one of the hardest, not only female rappers, but one of the hardest rappers, period, in the game. An M-Town legend. Someone that kept that balance between street and sex appeal within the Hypnotized Mind camp. And she's here on board tonight to chop it up with the team about what she got going on. The Slob of My Cat Challenge taking off for her. A lot of great things coming from the M-Town. So without further ado, welcome LaChat to Off the Cuff Radio. What's good?
You know. What it do? What it do, King?
Queen Chat, all that. What it do? It's great to have you with us, legend. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm thankful for y'all to have me. Oh, thank
you. Well, we are happy to have you on. Look, Chat, you know, King had to set it off on a Sunday, of course, with... it's good to know that there are still MCs like you, female specifically, who just go ahead and just keep it so real about, you know, what y'all like. And there's no shame in that. I mean, us guys, we like
yeah,
to get
you know,
our knobs locked.
You know, I'm going to get to them off the cuff. I'm going right off the cuff.
Definitely.
Straight like that. But you know what? But we know we want to thank you first and foremost for taking the time to chop it up with us. You know, the challenge for the Slob of My Cat challenge is taking off real well, and it's introducing you to a new legion of fans. Like, how has that been for you?
Man, the crazy part about it, like, you know, I don't know if people know or not. You know, I got so many people sampling my voice. They like sampling my voice and sampling my songs, but it's like y'all really disrespecting me because they ain't even saying featuring Lil Chat, you know. You got people using my words. They ain't even saying shout out my girl Lil Chat, you know. So, you know, I'm really on with the Slob of My Cat, man. I'm really on some, like, take my song back type shit, you know. I just warm. I can go through all that, but man, I just got through fighting for my song for 4 years. I don't want to see no pieces of court. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm really just, man, one day I'm in the bathroom, I'm like, man, fuck this shit, I've been doing a Slob on My Cat Challenge. I play, dance, because y'all do know that if I would have danced for real, I would have shut the internet down. But I did enough to let them know how we were going to do it, and, man, it just went from there. It took out so much to the point that, you know, people started booking me for shows, and they just were saying Slob on My Cat Challenge, the women coming out, the dudes coming out. And man, I said, fuck that shit, man. I did the video. So that video coming soon, man. So that's my song. I am Miss Slob on My Cat. Everything I do is a purpose to it. It's a reason for it. And if these motherfuckers just want to sample my voice, take my song or take my vocals, it's all good. I'm gonna take it back. I'm on my Memphis shit. That's what we do. We're going to take it back. I'm Miss Slob on My Cat.
Man, look, Chat, let them know in terms of y'all don't play down in M-Town being, you know what I'm saying, you know, that triple M, Memphis made mommy. Let them know.
All they got to do is Google that. See, you know, I don't want to drop names because I did it on my Instagram, and I edited a couple of people that did it, you know. But really, I wasn't doing nothing but promoting them. You know, this is a new generation at the end of the day. So after I got, even though folks was on there like, y'all just go take chat vocals, and, you know, and the thing is, it's a compliment, but it ain't a compliment. I hate when somebody say, well, they keep your name alive. How you keep my name alive when you ain't even saying featuring me? How you keep my name alive when you ain't even reaching out at me? I'm still alive. What you mean? I'm keeping my own self alive. There's no homage in it. There's no homage when you saying, girl, please, whatever, boy, please, whatever, when you saying my words, and you sound now giving everybody else thanks. Except the person whose words you use. That's no homage. That's disrespectful.
Yeah, you know, and one thing of Chat that you're absolutely right, because from that end of it, you know, in the years, you know, me and King have been doing this show, we feel a lot of times, there's a difference, as you, so really stated about what is acknowledgement and what's biting. Acknowledgement is when you author something, you have people reaching out to you, as you said, is recognizing your craft and your genius as being the originator, the creator, you know. And then when you have a situation where people will just, you know, take your words like Raekwon, sit on Cuban links, you know, like, you know, short niggas be biting shit, you know what I'm saying, you know, trying to sound like you, but don't, they can't be you, but they're not acknowledging you. And that's disingenuous.
Yeah, I got to find out from the fans edging me. I get an ed on Lil Chat underscore IG, and then here it is, not just my words, you got my whole voice in your song. Like, what they do there, hey, man? You got to get on the street, bitch. I don't feel like playing with the court, but what they do there, you know what I'm saying? That's a feature. I get paid.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? My voice, if my voice, anyway, I'm going to let y'all know, I'm going to let the world know. Which I think I really need to start texting the ass. And maybe they'll stop playing with me. Anytime y'all use my fucking voice in y'all songs, that is a feature, you owe me, okay? Y'all need to hit that BMI, y'all need to hit that plug in, or y'all just need to hit me. You see what I'm saying? I'm still alive. Don't do me.
look.
It's kind of crazy how these days, like, they don't even call you no more. They just throw your sample on. They don't even give you no
man. Every time I hear Paul or I hear them, I hit Paul up and be like, man, did you know anything about that? If he say no, then I'm like, wait a minute now, okay, somebody, what's going on? How you folks got 1.5 million followers? How y'all folks major? How y'all folks got major dudes that y'all fuck with and y'all able to sample my voice and get away with it? No. Somebody got to feel about y'all in real life.
That's real. I mean, but on one hand of the chat, you know, how does that feel, though, knowing over, you know, 20 years later, you know, from, you know, when you did the joint? Because we got a lot of history with you that we got to break down from your beginnings to everything to the present day. But I guess we, you know, on this show, because we run in so many different directions, but we all bring it home. You know, of course, you did the joint with Project Pat, you know, Chickenhead. That was not your first appearance on Wax, but it was one of your most famous. What, when y'all did that back in the day, man, what was that like in terms of putting that album together, that record together? And did you all know, like, that this was not only going to be a magic record, but this is was going to be so magnificent that this was going to be big years later? Tell us about
crazy
that.
Pop, we didn't have a clue. I know I didn't impact him either. He was just like, Cat, I got something I want to get you on. And I was like, what is it? He's like, my song called Chickenhead. He's like, I want you to roast me. I'm going to roast you. I'm like, okay. So, you know, we went and did. I dropped my vocals first. He came back laughing like, my chat, you went in. And then he dropped his vocals. But, you know, keep in mind, it was me, Paul, Juicy, and Pat on the song. But for some reason, me and Pat Versus stood out, and we had no clue. Like, they just been going in on TikTok, everybody doing us. Like, it's really funny, man. It's really funny, and it's a feeling like never before 20 years later that Chickenhead is still that song, that anthem. People be DMing me they kids singing Chickenhead, singing my vocals and stuff, you know, and it be funny because I'm happily 43. And, you know, back then, I'm like 21. I'm like, yeah, you like my outfit. And for me to see the little kids, man, changing up with wigs and doing all types of stuff and enjoying the song, it's really a compliment, you know. It's a compliment.
Man, I mean, when you look at it coming out of Memphis, man, of course you won, you know, 3-6 Mafia's Mystic Styles. You know, if I'm correct, that's where you first really got on the mic in terms of being known, in terms of your first appearance. But, I mean, y'all have so many legends coming out of there. I mean, Kingpin, Skinny Pimp, I mean, Al Capone, you know, some dude, I think, you know, from Ridgecrest, I think you know him, went by the name of Lil Yo before he changed his name to Yo Gotti.
And now,
you know, you got the new generation, you know what I'm saying? You have Frazier Boy, you know, shout out to him, you know, when he was coming up. You know, of course, Lil White. I mean, you had, you know, now you got Moneybagg Yo, you know, coming out.
Right.
You got Pooh Shiesty. Yeah, Pooh Shiesty. Go ahead, please.
Maybe we got our own slang, man. We got our own words. We got our own mentality. We got our own minds. We got our own way that we talk. So that's why I be saying it goes back again. You know, if you fuck with me enough to put my vocals on your shit or to say something that I said, fuck with me enough to acknowledge me. You know, I'm just a human being. I'm a humble person. You know, make me feel good about it. Don't make me feel like you took something. Because Memphis don't do that. We ain't with all that. We're going to take it back or we're going to get at you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, especially from the athletic.
We listen to a lot of the new coming acts now and groups. There's a lot of Memphis and a lot of the 3-6 DNA in their music.
But see, a lot of it, Paul and Juicy, is selling and giving the currents out. So that's why I say when I hear my vocals and some other stuff and I hit them and they say they didn't give the currents, you know, I believe them, hopefully, you know, or that's why I'm able to make the noise like I make, because the only way I want to make it, if you tell me that you okay, you know, because I love Paul and Juice. They can do whatever they want to do with me, with my vocals, with whatever, you know, if you want for them, I won't even be in the game. So, but if you tell me, like, no, you didn't do it or you ain't get nobody permission, then that means that I need to be trying to ask this person or I need to be in their DM and see what's going on. You know,
because
you got a whole voice on your song and you ain't saying featuring me when I get paid for features still 2021.
Look, Ma, that's how you keep it being a Jewish, you know what I'm saying? Take us back to the beginning of those days with Paul and Juicy. What was it like? How did you get into, you know, rhyming? You know, who was your influences starting out, and how did you get hooked up with them?
Well, I met Juicy through a guy named Lenore. Matter of fact, I reached back out to Lenore because Lenore went to jail. He was signed with Juicy back in the days, but he was working with Juicy back in the days. And we were going to summer school, and he was popular in the streets, Memphis streets. And I was telling him I could rap and stuff, and he was like, man, I'm going to get Juicy your number. And I was like, okay, but my mom was like, he don't get Juicy my number. But he did end up giving Juicy my number.
Mm-hmm.
And Juicy ended up calling me, like, man, one night, and he was like, man, what's up, I heard you can rap. I'm like, yeah, I can rap. He's like, let me hear something. And I'm like, my mama here? He like, well, I thought you were on the rap. I'm like, I do. He said, oh, man, you don't want to do nothing. He hung up. I said, oh, shoot, I missed my chance, man. So he ended up calling me back like 12 midnight, something like that. But he was like, I guess at home. He was like, yeah, this is Jordan. How you doing? I'm like, Jordan. He like, yeah, this is Jordan. This is Jay. I was like, okay. So he called Juicy at first. Then he called his Jordan on business. He's like, I heard you can rap. So this time I went down, you know, to the driveway. I don't know what he thought it was going to be. I don't know if he thought it was going to be some bubblegum, tutti frutti, rooty, rooty, booty, tooty. But he ended up getting that ring. Yeah, fuck a bitch. Lock that hoe up in the trunk. Bitch, fuck you. He got that. Dad, damn. He said, oh, you can't rap. He said, what you going to be doing about the next 2 days? I said, I ain't going to be doing anything. I'm going to pull up on you. I want to get you on my Juicy J7. I said, okay, so back then they was popular for Memphis. And one thing about Memphis people bump Memphis people. Like, if somebody trying to bring somebody here that's real big in Atlanta, and they was like, we want to put you and him on the show together. When I started asking people about them, they ain't heard of them. So I had to let them know, like, don't get offended when Memphis people ain't heard of these other people, because Memphis people bump Memphis people more than anything.
Right.
So they was more known for their little tape cassettes and all that, and he put me on there, and from that point, they already knew Check and Rap, you know, the streets did, but after that, it just kind of made me major, and then I went from that, I was still playing in the streets, and, you know, they came with the Mr. Styles, they came with the projects that they had signed a deal, but me, I ain't taking it serious. I'm like, okay, but we end up, man,
I got
on the Mr. Styles, we were doing shows, like, Jenny Jones, we were doing little TV shows and stuff. And it was a feeling that I never felt before. You know, I started saying, okay, I'm famous. We came out with the Hypnotize Camp, you know, and then we did Chicken Head. And then in 2001, I dropped Murder, She Spoke. And Juice asked me, he was like, Terry, what's going on your album? I don't know how I came up with Murder, She Spoke, but 2 seconds, I said Murder, She Spoke. And I came with it, and he was like, man, that's hard. Because, you know, you got the Murder, She Wrote episode, right?
Yeah.
And he was like, man, yeah, you know, you got the Murder, She Wrote TV show that come out. In 2 seconds, I was just like, Murder, She Spoke. He was like, man, you know what, that's hard. I don't know how I came up with it, but I came up with it, and my it dropped. And, you know, bootlegging was out back then. I'm riding the streets. I'm hearing folks like, yeah, you ain't gonna kill shit. You know, let shit down for number. Like, damn, these folks talking bad to say I left the window down. It's my damn album. I'm like, how these folks get my album now? I'm like, not yet. So it really felt good, you know, to pull up in my all the red lights and all my head. It was on lock. Everywhere I went, man, them folks were bumping their chest, and I, you know, I stamped it.
That's dope, man.
I know y'all with y'all shows, y'all brought a lot of hype energy into the game. You care to tell us what one of them wild concerts was like?
Ah, man, the concerts was wild. You know, we were still young. Y'all was still young. Like, Paul and Juice, they were separate in the beginning. And they ended up getting together. But, you know, they started out, they was in junior high school, rocking shows and putting out tapes and stuff. And it was like, we all was learning the game together. I was like 14, 15 years old around these people. Like I tell everybody, if y'all look at my interviews, I did the Off the Porch, I did a Beehive, I did a Vlad, I did a Blink. Now I'm doing y'all. I got to be at the 85 South November the 30th. But I tell people all the time, like, you know, we all been gone once upon a time, but when it all boiled down, we all grew up together. So we was learning together, so. I remember this one time we had a show, and man, these folks was getting us drunk. We were having a good time. We came in the club. They just come to bring us stuff to drink. They're like, yeah, turn up. And next thing you know, they started bringing us microphones. We don't know no better. Paul said, wait a minute, hold up. Like, what? He said, everybody stop drinking. These folks ain't paid us yet. We like, what? So he like, yeah. So he got the microphone. He like, hey, y'all turn your club up. So this motherfucker of Deepak ain't paid us yet. Man, when I tell you the crowd went wild, they really started tearing the club up. And we sitting up here like, God damn. And so we got somebody at the corner then. Some nigga like, man, you straight, crunch all. No, he ain't straight, not what, nigga. So, I'm sorry, it was wild to the point that when it all boiled down, when we got through making it to the club, but man, we down there had to go back to the school bus and pull out pistols. To make folks bag the fuck up, it's over with. So, like, these people are really crazy. We didn't really have some crazy fucking days, man.
And it's wild, Chad, because down in Memphis, man, I mean, y'all had a lot going on. I mean, just to break down the history, I mean, tell us about what was going on at that time when y'all had SOH, Distributions Network. When y'all had UGTV that Larry Clark started, I mean, DJ Just Born. No, can't forget, because y'all always known for the dope whips, too, and y'all had the stores back in the day, Auto Radio on Winchester, and then y'all had House of Toys, you know, Rim Shop, you know, in Pressure World on Lamar. I mean, tell us about the culture in terms of the car culture and just the styles, you know, from that time.
You know, Memphis really stands for making easy money, pimping. Holds the style, but really, you know, we ain't gonna say that making easy money is what Memphis really do. That's what we is. We some real hustlers, man, and we about what we about. We love to get it. We go make it how we gonna make it. Larry Clark, man, he shot my video. You what a guy, shout out to him. UZPV, that's Joe Gotti. Y'all see he doing big things. He shot the Boosie movie. So, you know, give it up to all the Memphis hustlers, because that's what we are. It was a lot going on, but at the same time, we still about our money. We still going to find a way. We're going to find a way regardless, you know. I ain't going to take none away from my city. We grimy. We cut, though. But at the same time, man, we're going to get our money. We're going to ride with Memphis for sure, for sure.
And, you know, the history goes beyond hip-hop because, of course, You know, y'all home to Sam and Dave, the Staple Singers, Elvis Presley, Jerry Lee Lewis, Willie Hutch.
Man,
Al Green.
If y'all ever get a chance to come to Memphis, please go to Graceland. You got so many people that live here in Memphis that never been to Elvis Presley's house. It's a museum. They got his house. Not only his house, it's like a three-story house. They also got him, his mother, his father, all them buried in the backyard. Across the street, they got his private plane. It is so motivational. If y'all will, just, if y'all ever come to Memphis, make sure y'all go to the Elvis Presley house. He's Elvis Presley, but he's a Memphis nigga.
you go to his house,
they got three TVs in the wall. They like, he didn't know what he wanted to watch, so he used to have three TVs on three different channels. I'm talking about his motivation is I don't know what. So, y'all, make sure y'all do that. Make sure y'all go do the Martin Luther King Civil Rights Museum. All that is made for Memphis because he shows the struggle. But at the same time, man, we have some real legends here. We have some real legends here, and whether they died here or whatever, man, they touched these Memphis streets. That stuff means something to us.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, it's like, but that down south, you know, southern soul, man, you know, King and myself, we, you know, we pride ourselves on researching, you know, and just being students of the culture, not only in hip hop, but all genres of the music, you know, from everywhere. I mean, and, you know, one thing about Memphis, a lot of people comes to mind, you know, or, you know, I mean, like we talked about the cars, we talked about the music, I mean, fashion. Can't forget about the food. Oh, my God. I mean.
And let's not forget Drake's father. Drake is from here. Let's not forget Drake's father.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah, Drake's father's
you
from
know,
here.
You know, we got B.B.
Yeah.
King, the king of blues.
Rest in
like
peace,
Memphis,
B.B.
Memphis
blues boy.
And then I always say, Chad, when you going to leave Memphis? I bet not leave Memphis. Like, no. They always say, well, Chad, you can be bigger if you left Memphis. I'm like, man, look, I didn't already be the biggest I'm going to be. I am who I am. You see what I'm saying? So what? Why I'm going to get this old and then leave Memphis to do what? When we didn't already had our peak. We didn't already had our fun. Now we do this shit for fun. You know, we didn't already put our footprint down in the world. The whole world know us. So it ain't about leaving Memphis to become bigger. I'm not going to leave Memphis. I love Memphis. You feel me?
And that's dope, man, to be rooted, you know, to be rooted in your hometown like that, because you have so many artists that are just trying, they basically, their thing is, man, I can't wait to get out of here, you know, when I make it and this, that, and the other. But, you know, you got some that it's like yourself who's like, you know, look, I'm okay where I'm at. This is where I made it, you know, and this is where I'm going to stay. You know what I'm saying?
It's there's no changing me. You can never get me to change, sell my soul and earn it. All my family here, all my people here.
Right.
What I look like moving around, all my platform is here, my footwork is here. What I look like trying to move around and make it, but while I'm making it, what my folks doing? You know what I'm saying? What my mama doing? How my son doing? How my brother's doing? I'm a baby girl. I'm the little big sister, you know, and I'm the only daughter. So imagine that pressure, and I'm fat. So that means I still look over my family. It ain't nothing in the world unless they go with me, and I don't think we're going to do that because I'm well respected in Memphis, man. Memphis love me. You know what I'm saying? Queen, for real, for real.
Hey, y'all talking about Memphis right now. Y'all, I'm pretty sure... I don't know if you've seen Hustle and Flow or not. Now, did that movie capture the true essence of Memphis?
Yes, it did. I hate I was out of town because, but a lot of people don't know, man, John Singleton loved me. Rest in peace, John Singleton. He loved me. He's the only one hitting me up on the two-way. I've been juicing like, Cat, how you got John Singleton on your two-way? He won't even respond to me. And he just liked that I was a country girl. You see what I'm saying? I really want to honestly say that I think John Singleton fucked with me because I was one of the ones that he met when we shot the Baby Mama video, because, of course, he did that. They did all that because he was in the movie. I think he just saw I wasn't one of these clingy-type girls. I wasn't trying to show no ass and titties. I was just being me. I was a real Memphis bitch. You feel what I'm saying? And he'd text me like, hey, Chad, let's go out. Man, we need to hit the sound like, man, I'm taking my braids down. We got a video to shoot, man. I can't get out. Who tells John Cena to know? Who? Shit, me? You know what I'm saying? Drew's like, man, Jack, you about to put a wig on the phone? I'm like, no. I'm going to take these braids down. So, man, shout out. Best of peace, John Cena, man. For real, for real.
Yeah, man. And I mean, look, we can't.
It called a true Esther because, you know, it also gave us out of towners a real good look of how y'all live, how y'all culture is. So it was a great movie on that behalf.
Yeah, it was real good. It was real good. I respected it. I liked it. When he saw it, me was like, catch you in town. You know, we filmed the movie. Crazy part about it, he only filmed it 3 days. I don't understand. I guess it was, I don't know.
Say
what? The direct script. He was down in Memphis only 3 days filming that movie.
3 days?
So,
and
I don't know.
The whole movie.
Nah, he did the whole movie. But I can't take that away from when we did Choices. It really took us like 2 weeks to do Choices. And we had our script. Yeah. So I can't take that away from, you know, he probably went a few weeks because he way more professional than us. It was like we'll take a night, go over our roles, what we're going to do the next day, and then we're going to do it. So, you know, I believe that's how he went with it. He just came, had everything mapped out, and was just getting on people as they came because I didn't know he was going to be here. If I wouldn't know he was going to be here, I would have made sure I was here. He's just like, he hit me up on my two-way. For those that don't know what two-way is, they had the two-ways out. Y'all remember the song Two-Way Freak? That's why we made it.
Yeah.
So, you hit me up on the two-way like that. You know what I mean? Me was like, oh, Lord, I'm not even there. So, you know, it was all love, though, because he did get a Memphis culture. Got out to, what's the name, Terrence Howard, you know. I don't know who he is today, but back then he played the mess out there role. Shout out to him. He did a good job back then.
Definitely.
Yeah, like
got
he was straight from Memphis. He was hollering mine and everything.
Yeah, he got the slang down.
He should have got an Oscar. He should have got an Oscar for that. And then the crazy part about it, like when we did Baby Boy movie, and they flew us out. I got to meet everybody that was in the Baby Boy movie, and they flew us out for the premiere. We hit the red carpet, and you know we getting the chance to look at the movie before everybody gets to see it. So y'all, of course, y'all know when Tyrese and Cookie, that's what she's on now for now. They was in the bedroom. They played my verse. You know, she got up and turned the music on. We were like, yeah, hoo-hoo. Then again, we go get when she dropped them off and we're picking them up from work. They played the second verse. Todd them looking like, we can't sit a blue cat up here. This folks is really crazy. And we just bust out laughing. But at the same time, you know, that right there was something that I never experienced before. Like, when the Baby Boy dropped, man, I know for a fact I went and saw that movie at least 6 times in one day. I had to go to every movie theater and just see, you know, something big. I also was in The Y. You remember The Y? Not The Y. What is that? Oz. Y'all remember that back there? You come on.
Yeah, the prison joint.
Yeah. I also was featured on one of they episodes, the soundtrack. That was something major for me, too. So, you know, I'm just blessed, man. I'm 43 and blessed.
Now, Chad, you know we got to ask you about it in terms of choices and everything, because especially when Baby Boy, you know, Choices and all that, King's a big movie buff as well as myself. What was it like in terms of, you know, that part, that time in the, like, early, mid-2000s with the proliferation of a lot of these independent black movies? Like, you know, E-40 had his joint, you know, his independent Charlie Hustle, you know, the story of a self-made millionaire, of course, you know, Mobb Deep did their joint, Murder Music. Yeah, you know, Master P did I'm Bout It, you know what I'm saying? What was it like just in the industry during that time in terms of seeing everybody doing these independent movies and everything and y'all being a part of that, doing what y'all did? What was that like at that time?
See, the honest truth is, like, starting next year, guess what I'm branching off to? I'm branching off into the movies. I got a movie role called A Mother Struggle, A Mother's Pain. I got another movie role called Gangster Girl. You know, I don't want to give it too much detail because I don't want to see my idea, but, you know, you would think it's about Gangster Girl, but it's really about, do you really want to be a gangster girl? You see what I'm saying? But back then, I'm going to be honest, I wasn't taking it serious. I never knew anything that we were doing was going to be such an impact today. Like, I just thought it was, I'm thinking it's something normal. Like, I used to go places, we doing the movie, and them days were so long. And in my mind, I'm just like, how much longer we got to film? You know what I'm saying? Not knowing that we filming real masterpieces. Not knowing that we filming stuff that people is going to, you know, take down in history. But that's what happened, you know, until years later, people still talking about Sources. People still see me. They be like, man, I just got to watch the Sources the other day. So I didn't really take it serious. And I think that's why I'm blessed in it. You see what I'm saying? Because you got some people that they be taking stuff too serious. They take it so serious that they forget. They lose their humility. I'm glad I wasn't taking a lot of stuff serious because they kept me humble. You know what I'm saying? They kept me being me. I didn't get out of my element. I didn't get the bitch head on nobody. I didn't never not appreciate no fans or none of that because I just thought what I was doing was normal, not knowing that I was really putting my foot in this game. You know what I'm saying? So, but it feel dope to be done it. So, starting next year, y'all be looking out for the Little Chat movie. That's what I'm transforming over to. And I'm taking it back to, like, the hood movie. That's what we missing. I'm going back to the hood shit.
We need it.
Getting that Boys in the Hood Menace energy.
Nah, I'm going back to the hood shit because all these movies is wrote in real life, you know. And I'm going to take it from Sources. I'm going to take it from, y'all don't forget I stole the dope. Don't forget that. So I'm going to take it like I'm getting out of jail because I went to jail. Remember that in Sources. Remember that?
Yeah.
I can tell this part. I can tell this part because can't nobody play me. So I'm going to start the girl off from me getting out of jail and my son thinking that I've been in the army because I didn't want him to know I was in jail. And I go in and I go dig the dope up that I stole. Y'all do remember that I stole the dope and torch.
Right.
It's not only did we do that, we did the move, but I stole the dope. So everybody wondered, what did she do with it? I buried it in the yard. I buried it in front of my dog house. And y'all go get to see that shit come 2022. So it's like my mind just thinking like a lot of stuff that I ain't take serious, I put my foot in the game. So imagine now that I got the footprints, it's time to give y'all the whole foot.
That movie was funny, man, because I remember the part where old boy, he was scared to bust a shot at one of the goons. You had to pump out the way. You had to pop him.
Yeah, I remember I was last running because when they ran off after they got the money, I stayed back because I got the dope, too. If you look back at it, I got the dope. And then that's why I was the last one in place running with the funny run. And that's my real run.
And look, chat, to let everybody know that you nice with them pistols, too. You know, we know your favorite is the 38.
Ah, man, I got two of them. I wish I could take a picture. I got one right now with the silver and the brown handle. Then I got a silver one with the black handle. And I got a Taurus 9 with the pink handle on it, you know. And, you know, I got a half one, too, but, you know, it don't take number one bullet. It don't matter. I got a top of mine. I'm just a gun ho. Put it that way. I Google what a gun ho is. Gun ho is a person that likes
guns. Yeah, that movie actually told a story, and you guys showed some good acting chops. Pat, he showed off his good acting chops, and you being the straight shooter, it's just little things like that that people overlook when they look at acting.
Well, I just want to, publicly say that I never shot nobody before, and I am licensed to carry. So, you know, I do go to the gun range because I don't want to shoot nobody. But I don't want to be no killer, but don't push me. Tupac voice,
look,
you hear me?
look, we know out of Memphis, you know, what a lot of stuff that is going, you know, we heard the stories about what go on in Memphis, you know. We can't forget our man Scam Man out there, too, you know, with Nephilim Records, you know. Yeah, man. You know, I can't forget my man Mike, you know, stayed down there, went to Raleigh Egypt High School. If you're listening, what up, Big Mike? You know, but it's something where, you know, coming from where y'all did, Memphis, you know, like I said, y'all always were known for the hustle. When you look at all of the acts that were coming up in that time, Endo G, Lil Blunt, all of them, as well as you all, I mean, when you all were coming up during that time, you know, did you all know what you were going to do in terms of not only becoming a regional legend, but becoming staples in hip-hop that, you know, you would all become legends in hip-hop across the board? Like, what was the aspirations of an artist in Memphis coming up during that time y'all were coming up just trying to make it out in terms of getting your music heard? Because this is before, you know, social media. This is before Facebook, IG, Twitter, all of that.
And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. That's why I let people know. Y'all got it easy these days, right? We didn't have no social media, and y'all done created 12 bars. We were doing 16 bars, three verses. It was not that easy to make a song. These days, people do 12 bars in a hook, and they got a whole song. It was no way that we was able to do that. We had to do 3 16s with hooks, and we don't got no ghostwriters, so imagine trying to make music that you – won't, you know, it ain't easy. We make it look easy. That's how you know your value, because you got to sit up and make songs that everybody likes, you know, and hope that they like you. You have to be in a zone, so when somebody say they don't write a block, I respect you, because it's not easy to make music for everybody. But if you do it, you accomplish it. But us as people, we didn't really think that we were doing nothing, because the way we rap is the way we talk. It's like really having a conversation with you on the rap. You know, on a beat. So things that we see, or things that we done went through, or things that we going through, we just put that shit on music, and that's how it be, so it make it look easy. So we not knowing that we going to make a big impact in the world like we did. Y'all see now we got the verses coming up. I'm not Thesis Mafia. I'm ACP, but, you know, Thesis Mafia versus Bone, they're still going to be me. You know, I'm still going to be in the building, period. So at the end of the day, the world knows Thesis Mafia got a big impact on this new generation today, 2021. So the job is going to be to rock the verses at all costs, at any cost. However we got to rock it, that's how they going to rock it. I don't want to give up no surprises. I don't want to give up no details. But I do want to let y'all know the similar stack you got, Thesis Mafia versus Bone on the verses.
True that.
Oh, we tapping
when
in.
Did you all know? Yeah, when did you all know in Memphis in terms of? Because of course, back in the day, you know, you had to, you know, you were a lot. Shout out to Double XL, of course, in the Source magazine and Word Up, you know, Right On magazine. When did you all know out there in terms of getting that national exposure? When you all were onto something and during that time?
Well, I didn't know until, you know, I already knew Thesis Mafia was big and was doing that thing. But when I dropped Murder, She Spoke, and I started getting like 4 shows a week, you know, and people was calling Paul and Juicy, and I'm like, where y'all get this girl from? And once upon a time, they were trying to get me to write for Trina, and the money wasn't enough, because I was like, y'all want me to give somebody my image for this amount of money? No. You know, so that's when I started seeing, like, okay, then, you know, we winning out here. We something different. That's when I really started seeing it then, you know. And Drew Paul said himself, he said, man, I'm going to tell you who stay booked. I'm going to tell y'all who keep getting calls and so, like, Thesis Mafia. We like, who? They like, Cat. You know what I'm saying? Still today, I'm still booked, man. November the 19th, Joplin, Missouri. It's me, Duke J. Crunchy, Sade Sign. November 26th, I'm in West Point. Man, you know, I'm still getting booked. I'm still charging for features, man. It still feel good. It's still 2021 to be making money off this crap. They let me know, man, that I'm some, you know, I put my foot in it.
Tell us about your first show.
You know what's dope as well is seeing how you and Gangsta Boo been working together. Y'all have any projects in the works?
Oh, man, we got Witch Out. You know, we got Witch Out. We dropped it 2 years ago. You know, we had a little conversation with the label situation, but at the same time, we still dropped it. You know, we dropped it up on another label. But it's still out there. It's still dope, man, I swear. If y'all ain't heard or y'all don't know about it, go on YouTube or go download it on all platforms. It's something that y'all don't want to miss. You know, I just got somewhere tonight. We talk every other day. That's my sister. You know, she's the only girl just like me. She don't got no sisters. I don't got no sisters. We got our brothers, and we motivate each other, you know. That's just what we are. I was a fan. I came through as a fan and ended up being a friend because she saw, you know, as a fan, I'm still a human being, and I'm still a real person. There ain't no competition. There ain't no competition. She realized that, and it, you know, it buckled her down. And we've been
friends ever since.
She know, don't nobody support her. Or don't nobody got her back. Ain't nobody more than me, you know. She look at every, you know, boo got the boo. So you already know. She already know she got to come at the whole neck when she come. But she already know, man. But when it come to chat, man, that's my sister. She don't give a fuck about none of this shit. Chat a real hustle. Chat gonna do what she do. Chat a real street bitch. Chat don't give a fuck about none of this rap shit. She know that.
And she'll tell anybody
that. She'll be like, man, Chat don't care. You know what I'm saying? Chat just doing what she can do. Like I told y'all, y'all see, back that goes back to as y'all asking me these questions, I didn't take none of it seriously. I thought I was just doing something. But all the time, not knowing that I was putting my foot in it, enough that now that I'm older, that I'm still able to ride off of it. So I'm blessed. You see what I'm saying? I'm able to go pick up from a movie that came out decades ago and come out. And you think they ain't going to want to know? You think they ain't going to want to see? Like mine. Ready. Look how I did the call on my cat. Y'all go follow me on Instagram. Lil Chat, LACHAC_IG. I just put the cheese up on the side of my cat. These folks going crazy. I'm like, God, that was all wrong. Don't like, because I would do the whole Murder, She Spoke videos. That was all wrong. If y'all see, I only did one video off that, which is You Ain't Mad Is It. I was not taking it serious. You see what I'm saying? It was like I was just doing it. But I loved it. I wasn't taking it serious because I was just getting my money, and it kept me humble. Right now, I got my own label, Dime a Dozen. You know, I got an album out called Drama Queen. I got beats from DJ Squeaky, Lil Lodi, Track Man, Bizzle B. I got Fiend on the album. I got Juicy Fruit on the album. I got Project Pat on the album. I got Frazier Boy on the album. I got my sister Gangsta Boo on the album. I also got a beat from this guy, T-Head. He's upcoming. He's producing Moneybag, y'all, right now. I got Frazier Boy on the album. I'm the type of person, I don't go off the clout or your name. It's like, when I put a beat on, I go off who I hear on this song type, you know, because anybody can do a song, and people like, you need to do a song with such and such, but if I'm like, well, what kind of song would I do? If we ain't got no chemistry, I don't want to waste a feature. We do a song just because of your name, and it ain't go gold, then I lost. That's a waste of feature. So y'all go get that Drama Queen. It's produced by me, man. It's out by me. It's on all platforms, and you know, y'all best to see girl, y'all want to see girl win. Go download the Apple Music, Spotify, all that. It's called Drama Queen.
I mean, and that's what it is, man. I mean, what's it like? Well, tell us, going back to those days, tell us about your first show in terms of when you got booked. How did it feel like when you knew, like, yo, like, I'm a paid professional. Like, I'm really going to get paid for doing it. What was it like?
Man, it was unexplainable. And then back then... I don't know, these people making way, way, way more money than we was making. these folks was like demanding our souls. And, you know, I had my soul city together and just to see a crowd of niggas and bitches. That's why I said I make nigga bitch music. Just to see niggas singing my song more than the women was like incredible. It was like a feeling. And for me to go out of town and people be like, man, you can't be writing this stuff. I'm like, I ain't saying nothing. You know, they're like, you got to have a ghostwriter. I'm like, really? You know? So, man, it was amazing. It was amazing feeling. And it just let me know who I was. And I still never let it get to my head to this day still. 2021, I'm still enjoying doing it. I still love it. You got some people that don't even love the music no more, man. I'm having fun with it. Still. And for those that y'all might don't see us on BET, might don't hear us on the radio or whatever, please know that we always still working. Always. Y'all wouldn't imagine how much you still working. Sometimes it's better to be working low-key. Always working.
Man,
you know,
look.
How y'all moving is, it's like, even with this whole crisis going on with the world right now, y'all still keeping that content flowing. I'm talking with the songs, with the mixtapes, the movies. It ain't stopping at all. If anything, it ain't prolonging anything. If anything, it just furthered the movement.
Yeah, it's like the fans, the love. They won't let us stop. Like, on every Monday, I go live on my Facebook and on my IG. So y'all follow me, Lil Chat _ IG, Facebook, Lil Chat Gino. I just came up with people want me to go live more. Put it that way. They're like, Chat, we want to see you more. I'm the type, I ain't going to go live for no reason. So I came up with a chat where that way where indie artists submit their album, they music, and they submit to Fight for Show, that's FIE, the letter 4, the number 4, show, SHO, @gmail.com. It's a $10 reservation fee because if I didn't charge, my email would be flooded. It'd be flooded now. So that's how I know you for real, you know. So every Monday we're going to live at 8:30 until, and we play indie artists' music. And if you're good, you get the chat way. If you ain't good, you get the debt way. It's judged by me and my followers and mine. They be turned in on Mondays. I try to tell them, I've been doing this since January the 15th, doing quarantine and all that. So I tried to say, well, y'all, it's the summertime. I'm going to give y'all a break. We're going to have fun. If I said no, I had so many people DMing me, telling me how much I motivate them, how much I make them, you know, take the music more serious. And with just that being said, I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop, so we're still doing it. To the point, January 15th, 2022, I'm going to drop a Chat Way album with me, with a lot of these indie artists on there that been showing love on the Chat Way that way, because a lot of these folks be major. They be major and don't even know it. They major without a deal. Like, it's some real talent in the world. These people be sending me songs from everywhere, and they be really good. Be really good, and I love it. I love it because I remember I was once them. They just need guidance, you know. So, like I told them, we're going to put the album out. You know, y'all get y'all promoters. Everybody that I put on it, I'm gonna break the percentage up so I can show them how it goes. It goes on. I want to be known that not only did I put my foot in the game, but I taught the game, too. I taught some of the artists that will come on every show that I do. They always say, ooh, we love you, because guess what? At the end of your show, you get knowledge. Yay! I want y'all to remember what I say. When I tell y'all, do it for fun. Rapping is a hobby. Always get you some money first and invest in your hobby. Don't be sitting up here talking about, I rap, I ain't finna get no job. I rap, I ain't finna hustle. I rap, man, look, rap is a hobby. You get out this game what you put in it. You got to spend money to make it. That's what the rapping is. You're not going to make no money if you don't spend it. So you got to do the rap for fun. So you always got to have a hustle to invest in yourself. Ain't nobody going to invest in you if you ain't investing in yourself. And nobody going to believe in you. And people be like, oh, why they saying we ain't need him or he ain't need them? No, because somebody big going to see that you believe in yourself first. And then they go get you. You see what I'm saying? You can't just say I'm bumping and somebody going to sign me. They want to know how much you believe in yourself. So y'all, they want to do the music, whether it's rapping, singing, comedy, whatever they got to do with entertainment, do it for fun. Do it as a hobby. Get you some funds and invest in yourself. you know.
That's real, man. What did you learn about the business in terms of making sure everything is straight in terms of your publishing, you know, placements, everything like that? Because it's, what you said, Chad, is gospel. That's church, you know, on KC. Because it's like, you know, you have to know, you know, like you said, you know your worth in terms of what you put into it, and that's how you maximize gains from it. Tell us from the business aspect over the years what you've learned on everything.
Well, I learned that after the fact, you know, that I had departed for 3 weeks because I departed because I didn't know what was going on. You know, I signed to a label called, I was with them, but they signed me to another label, which is called Cox Records, that I never saw checks from, which they was responsible for the checks. And once I started getting lawyers and stuff, the lawyers was like, he didn't know who was in fault. So he just separated me from both of them, which I didn't want because, you know, look, I'm just like, man, leave my family to get the money. You know, I don't care nothing about none of it, but at the end of the day, everything is business, ain't nothing personal. So once I separated, that's when I learned that, man, you know, you're supposed to get paid for this. You're supposed to register BMI, ASCAP. You can do really both of them up only two different names belongs to Zoom because, you know, your voice and your sound and your art is priceless. You get paid for it. I had to learn it. I didn't learn it until I did separate. Like I told you, I was 13, 14, 15 years old. I was having fun. I was making money. Yeah, I was. But at the same time, I had to get my business ass right, too, in which I got it right. And we still friends today. We still love one another, and they respect it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, and that's refreshing, Chat, that even with the situations that happened the way that it did, that y'all still, you know, managed to work it out because you're a veteran in this. You are, you know, you're one of our favorite aunties in the game. So you saw a lot over these years.
They know that I was 100. They know I was real. They know I'm genuine. They know me just like I know them. They know when the lawyers got involved and stuff, it was nothing intentionally to hurt nobody. It was just like, I'm getting 4 or 5 shows a week, but I ain't seeing no check for this album. You see what I'm saying? So it was really on some business stuff. Other than that, it wasn't no, y'all got me messed up, so. End of the day, they knew me. They knew that I was still real. They knew I'm genuine just like I know them. And here we are 20 years later, man, still a number of love on the land. And y'all can believe I'm going to be at that verse.
Well, Trey's going to go crazy when you
and me and Juicy, keep in mind, me and Juicy, like I said, got a show November the 19th, which is next Friday in Joplin, Missouri, man, you know. We already got older, so we accept that we are who we are. We planted a seed that just cannot be broken.
Yeah. And, I mean, from that end of it, you know, because we see, you know, Chad, we look at the business aspect, and we've seen so many times with a lot of artists on off the cuff. We can get off the cuff, but we also try to keep it folded in terms of responsibility, keeping it neat. So, you know, and there are situations that we have seen over the years. We only speak on the air about these situations because these are documented incidences that have happened in terms of where business was not correct. Like when we look at a situation that happened with Jay Prince and Birdman concerning Drake, you know, when we look at the situations that happened, you know, with Puff Daddy and the Lox back in the day. You know, countless other situations where, you know, I mean, you look at the rift that for a while Remy Ma, Fat Joe had behind business. These are all situations that they have talked about publicly. You know, when you look at the business aspect of it and situations that you've seen in the game with other artists, and situations went sideways with them and people they started with. How much of that do you consider a blessing that you were able to sidestep everything with Paul, you know, and everybody in terms of not having that situation escalate into something else? Because that's rare,
I thought it a real big blessing because just like that gave the record company a chance too. They didn't know that the record company wasn't going to send no check. You know what I'm saying? So we both, it's like you can sign a deal. That don't mean that you guarantee that this person going to do right. So it's like we both was giving this other company a chance that didn't do what they were supposed to do. You know, in the long run, that's what we found out that, you know, with them. Because that's who dropped Murder, She Spoke. I can't say Paul and Juice told me for Murder, She Spoke how when I'm signed to Cox Records. You see what I'm saying? If I'm signed to Cox Records and they the one who put the promotion and they the one who put the album out, how can I blame them? How can I blame Paul and Juice for what Cox didn't pay me for? You see what I'm saying? So it's just a business decision, and I'm glad that they didn't take it to heart, not for sure didn't take it to heart. You know, I'm going to be honest. I'm still a female at the end of the day, man. You know, I felt like I was going through a heartbreak. I felt like I was going through a breakup because at the end of the day, this is my life. For so many years, these folks introduced me to a life that I never saw before. And if I had to choose between them and the music, man, I would have chose them all day because I saw what we did before Murder, She Spoke came out. I was already winning before I dropped my album. You know what I'm saying? So I felt like, man, fuck that. We can do another album. But when they said, well, your lawyer said, you got to stay away from us. We're going to do another album. But you can't come to the studio. I said, oh, nah, fuck y'all. We ain't doing it. I'm y'all stupid. If I can't record well, I've been recording it, we ain't doing it. We ain't finna make it like it's just about some business because that ain't what it is. We love one another. We ain't finna just do this just for the business. I ain't say if I could be. You go on the street, if you got people that do stuff just for the money, we ain't doing that. We're going to do it the way we've been doing it, or we ain't going to do it at all. And that's what happened. But they businessmen, they wanted to do it the way the lawyer said. And I said, guess what? I ain't doing it. And I ain't do it. So that's why y'all didn't get a second album up on the Hypnotize Camp / whoever else we would have put it up on. Because I was in my feelings.
Well, it's understandable given the situation because one thing about it, Chad, is we hear you tell your story, you know, with your history behind it, you know, what happened with them, how people tried to play you and Gangsta Boo against each other, and, you know, but y'all have a sisterly familial bond, which is just fantastic. What do people have to understand, Chat, about getting in this business in terms of, because sometimes you don't always get to finish with the people that you started with, and then a lot of times that's when, you know, as we call in the country, you know, the revenuers, you know, the intruders, you know, them people that want to come in through the back door that ain't help you build the building, and then they want to give their input. What did you see during that time with other crews in terms of how other people infiltrated, not having the best interest, and how a lot of these new artists are coming in and not necessarily knowing who to keep around them?
I just say, man, you got to go with your gut. You got to go with your heart. And if you're a real person and you got real love for someone, you ain't going to let nothing come between you. They always say money is the root of all evil, but you got to defeat that slogan. You got to know that money don't make you come between none that you love, because the same way that y'all could have got that money, y'all can get some more money like we doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to know how to separate love, money, and business from the people that you really love. Get the business together and still be with the people that you love. You know, I see a lot of groups that were together, and they kick people to the curb and act like they didn't even matter. Like, how can y'all do that? I don't understand it. I salute Master P. He got his whole crew. He got his whole team. I salute him. So I'm saying, regardless what it is, you got to know that you would rather see your fam eat or the people that help you get where you were eat versus you getting these new people, man, because you already know these other people who help you get where you were, they love you for real. They was with you when you were climbing. They was with you when you was reaching. They was with you when you were building the name that you did already created. And that's how I feel. Yeah, I'm a CEO. Yeah, I got an LLC, Diamond Dove. label that I created myself, but at the same time, I'm not comfortable with nobody but Streets Mafia. I don't feel like I know nobody in this world better than I know DJ Powell, Juicy J, Project Head, Lil White, Crazy Boy, Gangsta Boo, you know, Infamous, Damn Man, Coosta Nigga, Lord Infamous. I know these niggas. I know these people. Like, I know these people. So you got to learn how to separate all that and just remember the love come before money, business, and all that.
Yeah.
For real.
And that's real, man, because a lot of times I think people, the one thing about it is that people really don't understand, you know, King and myself doing the show, we've been blessed to meet so many different people, you know, in person and on this show. And one thing about it is we can really appreciate a lot of people who are, they still stay true to that, because sometimes when you get into the game, and I want to word this very carefully because I don't want to, you know, throw shots at anybody in general, but you got a lot of people that come in there and they really don't understand what fame entails. You know, they want to do the music and then they think they're on, keeping it real. Sometimes people think that they're more on than what they actually are, but they want to start acting Hollywood, you know, change up, you know, and think that they're more than what they are, not understanding that the humility, that sense of humbleness, having a genuine heart is what keeps you in. You know, talent is what gets you through the door, but your humility and your character is what's going to keep you close to people in terms of respect. We see a lot of artists come in the game now through social media trying to act like they're more than, you know, trying to act like, well, I'm such and such, and y'all need to recognize. Do you feel that because of social media that that's giving them a false sense of celebrity and it sometimes leads to these irresponsible actions that we see?
Yeah, because it do. It's like people catering to fans. You know, social media is crazy because it's giving people that really, you know, I read comments. I wouldn't even never even know you or see you if it wasn't even for social media. And it's really giving
right.
people a chance to say what they want to say. And sometimes, you know, a lot of artists let the social media affect them and forget that really you really shouldn't even act like this. You got time to even read what they're saying. And it do make you react. It do make you get out of character. But you always got to remember that your character is all that you got. You know, people don't want to, you can't say, oh, I was just doing it. No, you got to be you at all times, because when it's a funeral or anything, when somebody comes speak on you, they're going to speak on your character. And always remember, don't never let your character knock you out of place that God put you in. God can put you in a position. He put you in there. Don't let your character knock you out of it. Your character is the most important thing that you have in life. That's why I'm able to walk with my head up. That's why I'm able to go in a room full of big dogs and you ain't going to hear nothing about me, no slander or nothing, because I know and I live by my character. All these women think they can sleep their way in the game or sex their way in the game. And mess. Look, I'm a real bitch, and I don't like rappers. I don't do it. I know how you niggas get down. I would never be on y'all list. Don't get it twisted. Don't think I ain't put my had to put my big X up on a whole lot of these rappers. Don't get it twisted. So, you know, women, man, you just got to know, man, your character is what's going to carry you. Your character is in hand. And stand back. You get more respect and you get more love that way. You know, be who you are. If you're going to be a slut, then be a slut. But if you're going to be a real bitch, then that's what you be. Don't let nothing, nobody, no dollar, or no other thing change you from being who you are. Because if it's a friend, and that's what you want them to speak on. Your character. And that's what's going to matter. I always remember that.
Absolutely. And, you know, you came around that, you know. Go ahead, King. Go ahead.
I was going to say, in character sales records as well, as well as maintain a long career.
Absolutely. You know, Chat, you came around, you know, you, Trina, you know, Eve, you know, y'all, Foxy Brown, y'all were, you know, among that second wave of, you know, female rappers, you know, coming in, you know, that you know, Lil' Kim, of course, you know, y'all, you know, she's another contemporary of yours. You know, y'all came around a time that really, really brought, you know, the female prevalence to hip hop. You know, y'all really modernized it in terms of bringing about an expression, a style, your own feminine fierceness that really helped define the next generation. We got rappers like Rapsody now, Megan, City Girls, you know, Cardi. How do you feel about this new wave of female rappers coming into the game these days?
Well, you know, I got much love and respect for all the females that's doing it because it's hard to do. You know, it's already a male-dominant world, so it's hard to do. But with me as a person, and I'm pretty sure somebody else out is just like me, it's enough shaking and body settling in the game. You know, what about the women that don't do that? Somebody got to represent for them. Somebody got to represent for the hooks. Somebody got to represent for the thug bitches, because whether y'all like us or not, we thugging like a motherfucker. We can't help it. You know what I'm saying? It's in our DNA. You know what I'm saying? They don't mean that it don't take nothing from us as a woman. You just got some ride or die bitches that's out here that get down just like you niggas do. You know what I'm saying? You got some bitches that go get it from the mud. You got some bitches that go pull a leak. You got some bitches that go hustle. Mine more harder than you. You got some bitches that go be in the trenches. You got some bitches that don't put a number down. So every woman can't be ass and titties, shake it, dip and dip, man. You got to just be you. And if you're one of the ones that represent for the streets, for the hustle, for the struggle, then you be you. And I was just one of the ones that weren't scared to be me. I knew it was enough of all that in the game. And if I got to come in that way, then see, I don't want it.
That's real, man. I mean, especially, and I can't forget about 504 Icy Girl. She's like raw right in the game now, too. I mean, she going hard out there. How do you feel about the business now in terms of music as to how it's marketed in terms of, and how do you feel in terms of like physical copies in terms of albums? And just how things are promoted now, because it's way different than what we grew up seeing and what you came into the game in terms of experiencing.
It's really easy because really all it takes is one song. You can go battle. You can be a bomb today and a boss tomorrow. You can come on social media. You got one song and all of a sudden you the shit. Like, damn. So it's really easy. I respect the game now. I do. I respected it back then, but really, it's really more easier. It's easier, man. I swear to God, I make more money today than I did back in the day because, like I said, it's giving us assets. It's giving us people that probably never thought that they could talk to us, the chance to inbox us, email us, do songs with us, book us. It's just more assets. I respect the new way. I respect it. I love it. No complaints from me. We eat.
So tell us back in the day because obviously through social media chat, you're absolutely right because, you know, we're thrilled to have you on. And obviously through the magic of social media, you know, King was able to get this. Tell us back in the day in terms of doing a show or interview, how people had to reach out to artists, because I know damn well
it was business. Like Holly Juicer was my manager. The only way that y'all could ever contact me was y'all would have to go through their email that was on the CDs that they put out, or the email that they had out on the website. It was no direct contact to us, period. You know, so it's way different. And we respect it. It wasn't just us. That's how the game went. You couldn't just get at your favorite artist no type of way without social media. It was no way.
It used to take a lot of work. I'm talking about
We were doing posters. We had to do flyers. We had to do a lot of footwork, too, to promote, too. We had to do flyers. We had to do in-stores. Do y'all notice people don't do in-store signings no more? We used to have to go and go to the record stores and record shops and do autograph signings. And, you know, people don't do that no more. Y'all know that. I just thought about that. I ain't seen nobody do an in-store signing in a long time. But we asked that to do that. Did y'all think about that? I just thought of this now.
Yeah, man. I mean, sadly, it's because, you know, Chad, you know, and King, you know, and me and King talk about this all the time. You know, sadly, it's because a lot of record stores aren't, you know, around anymore. And, you know, I mean, I'm a record junkie. I mean, King's seen some of my collection, you know, it's like, and that ain't even all of what I got. You know, and I mean, but I love, you know, I love the idea of being able to touch that vinyl, those CDs, those cassettes. You know, that is like you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
reading it, I mean,
Because even my music, even I play my music, it's from a phone or an iPod or something. You know, we download the music. We really not buying physical copies no more. We really not. You know, if we buy a physical copy, we hang them on the wall.
Yeah, and I mean, one thing about it is when I look,
not only look at the liner notes, but the cover art, because I'm a big collector of the cover art, too.
Yeah. What was that like having Pen and Pixel do a lot of y'all stuff back in the day?
You said what was it like to do
what? What was it like back in the day? Who did y'all cover art? Did Pen and Pixel do some of y'all stuff back in the day?
Oh, no, we had a computer. We had our own in-house guy that did the stuff.
Oh, okay.
Now we have a random stranger send, they just go make a cover. And we'd be like, oh, damn, this is dope. And there we go, we rolling with it. So the game is way much, much easier now.
That's
easier now. And I love it. I ain't got no complaints. I ain't mad at them. I can do something out of verse and make them 12 bars, and they love it. And these days, they want 6 bars. And, you know, back then, we got at least do 8 or 16. And they paying for it. Like, the game is very easy right now.
So from you spectating how it happened, how did the whole thing with Bone and 3-6 Mafia, how did that whole, who proposed that idea, and how did y'all make it come together for it to happen?
Well, pretty much all I have to go follow Paul, DJ Paul, KOM. He actually got the whole story on there. He posted yesterday. See, I'll go on his Instagram and check out. He's going to tell the whole rundown and how it happened and why it got to happen. So, I stay in my lane.
Understood. Stay left.
Yeah,
stay
and
left.
If he would have never told him, if he would have never gave the story, then I'd give it. But he gave it. So y'all go follow DJ Paul KOM. And then y'all, when y'all go read it, be like, I'm here because Chat told me to be here. Give me my props.
Yes, we will.
Let him
know.
Let him know. I came and check out the
story
because Chat told me to check the story.
I'll do it after the show.
I asked Chat told me to go hear about it through you. You know what I'm saying? You got to let folks know, man, you repping them with or without them being around. That's genuine.
Justin, so how do you feel about that whole versus series, Chad, in terms of we've seen? Because I think one thing about it, I think by the time the last chapter of humanity has been written and when we write it for hip-hop, you know, the versus, and shout out to Swift and Timberland, I don't think people really understand how important that is in terms of the musical history with it. How do you feel in terms of it being a preservation of the culture and reminding people the legends and why we need to appreciate them while they're still here?
Man, I feel like that's real big, and I'm glad that the verses even thought of it, because that's a real big company for those that don't know. Like I said, you got a lot of people that sample us, a lot of people that use my voice and use other stuff, but the new generation don't know who we are, but they will know. So it's a compliment. It's a compliment. And it's needed, well needed.
Yeah, you know, and especially when we look at some of the great matchups we had, you know. Yeah.
And it's very fast. And it's also bringing the competition aspect, too, because I just looked on Paul's page, and they put in front of their bone. They got Busy Bone thrown down some steps. How about Rent, dude?
Make sure you say I'm here because Chad told me to come here. It's going to get crazy. It's going to get crazy. But it's all fun and love because we have did so many shows with these guys. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to post our picture that we took with Bone 2 years ago. And, you know, it's been number love. And for some reason, you know, they feel like that's what we click at with. Like, we do shows with them and they sell out. They sell out.
Yeah, man.
It's going to be fun to see, though. And you know what's also really dope about what you guys are doing is also the seed of the six group that the new generation of, like, it was all, I think it's on Local Done It and Lil Infamous. They're like the spawns of the 3-6 movement for the new era.
Yeah. Like, that's Richie's son, that's Lord Infamous' son, and he's him all over again. I don't know how he do it. I don't know how he rap like him. He looks just like him. He's like, if y'all go see him, he's like Ricky Donovan Jr. It's like, how do you even get to look like it? If nobody else looks like him in the world. Do rap like him, do act like him, he's weird just like him. So that's why Paul feel like he should create it to see the feet.
It's crazy, Checkers. It's like he's a split image. I was flabbergasted.
For real. And it's like Ricky Donovan Jr. for y'all that don't know. And then you got Loco Done It, you know, that's Paul Nepper. He hard, too. He make beats and everything. So, you know, it's just talent all the way through the family. My son, he rap, but, you know, he got in a little trouble, so he won't take the rapping serious. He trying to take it serious now, but I'm like, nah, it's over. The game ain't what it was. When I was trying to put you in the game, it was good. Now it's not good. So I'd rather leave my son out of it.
Yeah, understood. It's, you know what I mean. One thing about it, man. One thing about it too is that we never really, you know, heard too much about y'all back in the day. Really getting into any real problems with anybody in terms of like real music beef. Was there anything that did happen that we didn't know about, or was there something that just flew under the radar that it just never really got out there?
Nah, man. Everybody knew it. We ain't had no fire. We ain't had no beef. The only beef we did was with each other, and we still love each other.
Yeah. How do you feel today about a lot of rappers who are seemingly deliberately trying to start problems with other rappers, either because of airing out personal issues that should not become public or simply for publicity?
I don't like it because I feel like they losing. You know, you either end up jail a day, man, in the industry is entertainment. We in this to make money. We ain't in it to make enemies. We ain't in it to have friends. We ain't in it to have fights. We ain't in it to do none of it. So I really don't like the way the rap game, the way they turn this to, because it's like, y'all losing. Who winning? All the winners, they end up in jail. All the ones that be winning, you end up in jail or dead. That's not winning. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, keep this shit fun. Keep it fun. Keep it entertaining. Get your money. Dude, we ain't got no business beefing with another man or another woman that's getting their money. Do what you do and just show respect, man, and just, man, love the culture. Love it and do what you do. That's how I feel about it. I don't like the way they go on there. That's why, you know, I dip in and dip out. I'm just having fun with it because I don't want no smoke. I ain't gonna lie to you, I'm happy. I'm happy 43. That old me, I would have been ready for smoke. I don't want no smoke. None. Y'all can say what y'all wanna say, call me what y'all wanna. I'm gonna just say I don't want no smoke.
But
all I want is some money.
It's hazardous to the health.
For real, for real.
Yeah.
And good.
But
smoke.
You know, Chad, we see so much of it changing now, you know, especially, you know, in terms of, you know, niggas calling out how they going to do something to somebody. Then we see the gang shit coming heavy.
They feel like
they got
to do it. Christ by the bad. They feel like they got to do it because they said it.
Right.
They're going to say they're going to do it. Then you got to do it. Now you just said it. But you lose. You win doing it. You lose.
Mm-hmm.
I just think a lot of these new entertainers, man, they're not being guided right. They need guided, you know. And then you got some people that might deal with the people just for the money. They see you in and you with the beef, you hot. They don't care about you getting killed. They just gonna get their money off you. Man, come on, man. You got to be more smarter. You don't make money beefing. We lose money every time the United States go to war. So it's no money being made beefing. That's what these artists got to understand. You lose when you war. You lose when you beat. At all costs. Get the money.
And, you know, it's different because when we look at that time, you all, one thing about it that we always talk about on this show from this time and that time, Chat, is back in the day, your talent was what got you out there. If you were really dope on a mic, if you was a real, you know, goon, if you was a murder mommy, or, you know, a straight gun 'em down nigga, you know, your reputation in the street was what it was. You know, you didn't need, it was already established at a certain level what you stood for coming into the game. And then when you got into the game, it was about you trying to make that separation from your former life to your current profession. And I think a lot of times now, because like you said, it's entertainment at the end, but we have such a, because now when you look at the business aspects of it, Chad, because back in the day, hip hop was it was something of ours. You know, we were really watching, we were curating, we were guiding it in terms of what our vision was, our expression was, how we wanted to present it. And now it seems like we have other entities that are outside the culture who are not engaged, vested in, or appreciative of it, who are trying to tell us how our music should sound. As an artist, how do you feel about that?
I feel like you don't never let nobody tell you what to do. You go with your gut. That will make you the artist. That will make you who you are. Because if somebody got to create you or tell you what to do, then you're not original. If somebody got the light for you or somebody got to, you know, tell you what type of moves to make, then you're not being you. You're not an artist. You being a puppet. You being what they want you to be all the time. You stick to what you're doing. You stick to what made them. If you draw their attention and catch their attention, then you stick to that. Don't let them change you. No type of way. Y'all see me now. It's like, oh, my God, I got a lunch right now. I'm doing it now because I'm having fun. I already got my fan base. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
In the beginning, I had to get them honestly, and I gained them honestly. So now, as a grown woman, and, you know, 2021 type shit, you know, I got to show folks. No, I can't be up for like I'm just the fear thing. Back in 1996, back in 2001. Here it is, 2021. But at the same time, I don't get it twisted because I'm still hurt. But I can have fun with it now. But back then, nobody could have told me, well, look, Chad, we need you to show this. We need you to show that. Ooh. No, I wasn't showing it when I got your attention. So don't try to change me from being whatever I did that caused your attention. And that's even in life. In life, a relationship, whatever. If you get somebody's attention their way, stay their way.
And I think that's the most important, staying true to that artistic vision, because one thing about it, from a level of, because the people that really rock with you, we've learned this throughout the show, throughout our time doing this 7 years strong. The people that rock with us, we appreciate. You know, we're on social media. Our YouTube does well. We have a modest IG following, but the people that follow us really rock with us. And we can honestly say, you know, King, Sandman, Chinchilla, myself, and with help from so many others along the way. Shout out Big Hutch and Above the Law, Uncle Cocaine, you know, Richie Rich, Dyer Lansky, you know, Fleetwood from the Cotton Pickers, so many that have helped us on this journey. Can't forget Aris, you know, Angela Covington, so many others that have helped us. We really have grown this at a level to where we have our vision of what we want to do, and we do this on our rules. You being an entrepreneur, an independent woman, a business-minded lady, what is it like to have that level of autonomy dictating your career as an artist and as a business owner?
Well, right, look, I'm letting my dog out at the same time I'm doing the interview. I got a pit bull.
See, you're multitasking. See?
I got a pit bull, a Frenchy bulldog, and a chihuahua, and they're all boys, so all of them is crazy. But, yeah, well, I think it's a good thing because when you go with your gut and what you want to do and it end up working, that's a good feeling. You know, sometimes I see if you do something and it don't work. Me, honestly, I never done nothing that didn't work. Years ago, I did Preacher Remix, Turn Off the Light. I did it on purpose, and I put it on Worldstar. And, you know, they were like, cat turkey, woo-woo. And one thing about Worldstar back then, they were like, if you get over 6,000 views, your next thing that you submit, you know, you don't have to pay for it. Man, if you don't think I ain't started no controversy, I started controversy like a motherfucker. That motherfucker did over 50,000 times that damn 3. I was trending and everything. So with me, I feel like if you go with what you want to go with and it's working, you winning. Now, if you feel like you kind of going with what you want to go with and it ain't working, then maybe you should take some advice. But I'm the type, I don't pop out unless I think it's going to work. You know what I'm saying? You get out this game what you put in, and then you just can't be putting in, and think everything going to work. Just think sometimes, think twice, think three times, think four times, and then work. Don't always go to first man. A lot of people say, go to first man. I'm the type that say, no, I'm going to go with my fourth man. Because y'all got to think on. Now, after that fourth time, and I done thought, and I still got that first man thought, then that's what it is. But if I got to think something else different, then that means, you know, I got to do a little bit more detail. So, but if you being you and it works, then you win.
Yeah. And I think there is no other way, better way to express that, because a lot of times when we look at a lot of artists, chat, you know, we see them from an aspect of music that sometimes, shout out to Jazzy, you know, Sean Del Rosa from Jazzy Management, manages Eastside, we had him on last week, and he talked about the business aspects in terms of having the right manager and understanding your music in terms of how the business is conducted. And a lot of times certain artists, they aren't prepared for the second act, as we call in show business, in terms of what comes after rapping, because not many are going to be fortunate to be, you know, in a position like you, 3-6, you know, Gangsta Boo, you know, Frazier Boy, everybody who's still doing music and still making, you know, imprints to this day. What do artists have to understand about that adjustment for what comes next in terms of moving forward in their career and beyond?
You just got to be ready to move forward. You got to know that you can't be stuck. You know, you got to keep up. You got to keep your ears to the street. You got to do a little homework, and you got to be ready to move forward. And sometimes what you think going to work might not be it. You know, you got to be ready to criticize your own self. A lot of people don't want to criticize. You got some people that you can't tell them. Not only can nobody tell them nothing, but they ain't going to let themselves tell themselves nothing. You know, so you got to be ready to move forward. You got to be ready for change. You know, that the game is entertainment, and now you got to keep it entertainment.
Yeah, and that's wild, man, because a lot of artists, you know, they, like you said, you have to be ready to move on. And we see sometimes with artists that shall remain nameless how when their career hits that stalling point and they get stuck, they still trying to live like it was the old days. It's like, dude, yeah. It ain't coming back.
You got that chapter back there. Hey, it's 10 years later now. Hey, now. Everything is not the same. You got to go on, get with the fuck ramp. You got to get with it. Now, I've had a lot of artists this day. Like, yeah, chat, let me get your feature. Then they send me the song. Fine, you feel sound like we were sounding back in 1996. All of them, no, come on, man. But, you know, I still do it for them for the respect. But you got to keep up, man. You got to go with what's going. You got to keep up.
Yeah. Yeah, look, King always has a joke, as we say, you know, some of these artists out here be looking like Larry Holmes status, all washed up and can't throw a haymaker, you know, for nothing. And it's like, you know, and, you know, but it's tragic because
they,
when we see...
Ref like Holyfield, they going down on the first round.
Yeah, because that's what they got to look at. Like, everybody was the shit, what's funny saying? Look at Muhammad Ali. He was the greatest. You know, look at him now. You know, Mike Tyson, he was the greatest. You know, hey, man, you got to know either do what you got to do or you going to keep up or you going to get on out the way. It's never the same. You got to change up with the game. You got to.
That's
got
yeah,
to.
You know,
no.
You got
to change with the times.
You got to.
Yeah.
The days ain't going to even allow you to be stuck back 10 years ago. Just like you said, look, like we said, look at social media. I never wanted to get with it. To be honest, I got an iPhone. I never wanted to get with it. I hate this iPhone. I love an Android. I hate this iPhone. But I had to get with it because this was going on, and it helped me out a lot of my business. I never wanted to get rid of the flip phone. I never wanted to go to the Android. But I had to, you know, a lot of things in life, man, you got to keep up with. I use that as an example, like, you know, if you think, don't get stuck. Don't get stuck in life. You got to keep up.
Yeah, and that's the adjustment factor sometimes that some people don't always want to understand because, like you said, Chad, you know, certain things don't always stay the same. You have to evolve in terms of understanding. I mean, like you said with the phones, you know, it took me a long time to get a new.
Look, it was so embarrassing. Like, Power went live on Instagram, and I'm on my Android. For some reason, my Android got stuck. The fuck got stopped calling me Chat Rally. Because y'all remember Taylor Riley and all them did the little verses and stuff.
Yeah.
And Taylor Riley phone was getting stuck or whatever. All the fuck got to call me Chat Riley and everything. I'm like, oh, hold up. Fuck me. So I have ever got me an iPhone and I ain't no problem guessing. I'd be like, yeah, now what? Don't talk about me. Tell me. Y'all see me lacking in something, y'all fuck with me. Put me up on guys.
Yeah, and you know, from that side of it, man, it's, but like you said, there has to be an understanding that, you know, you move forward with it, and things do change, you know, and a lot of artists, you know, when we look at music, we look at how marketing has come, when we look at the sounds that have come, it's a myriad that a lot of people have to navigate in that maze of the media in terms of what goes. But one thing about it is, as you said, solid is always going to be rooted concretely in character. You know, if you are a real person, that is always going to, you know, it's always going to last. You know, your reputation is something that is always going to be realized by those that respect it in a real way. Pretty much, as you go along in this, who else would you like to work with in the industry? Because we know you're not going to stop making music. Which artists are you feeling right now that you would possibly want to work with down the line?
I like Lil Durk. I was up on Durk way before Von got killed, way before the world really got on him, you know, because I feel like he just was a young cat that just knew a lot, saw a lot, and put it in his music, and people really said he wasn't about their life, so they ain't believe him. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, but I'm a street bitch, so I read it and I hear it, And I love it. I peep it. I ain't gonna lie to you. I like Lil Durk. That's what I'm about. I fuck with Lil Durk. I fuck with Moneybagg. And them two right now, that's what I'm flipping from.
Yeah, one thing, and we got to speak on both of them for a second.
Bring that energy out there.
Yeah, and to see Durk to see Durk make that rise from what he did 10 years ago, you know, where he
because
was, you know, just kind
people
of
got to, people got to remember Durk's not the bad boy. Durk just tried to put a bad boy in a good position. You see what I'm saying? People
right.
don't look at it. They ain't looking at the good that he done. So he's gonna be blessed. That's why he's being blessed. That's why he's the blessed one. It's not his fault that whatever goes on, but he's also a guy that tried to solve a lot of stuff and tried to change a lot of lives, and that's how I am with my team. I try to change lives around me, you see what I'm saying? But you can't control everything. And a lot of stuff that he say, it just be out the blue. You be like, man, damn, that nigga just said that out the blue, but it was real.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But, you know, and to see where he started from then to where he is now, I mean, it's great to see that he's made those, you know, those evolutions that he has really, like, he's grown, you know what I mean? And same with Moneybagg, you know. And it's crazy, chat, because a shout-out to Littles, you know, from QB, who was managing him at the time, because, you know, Moneybagg came here, him and, you know, Black Youngster, because I'm in Virginia. They came to Norfolk, and I got to meet Moneybagg, you know, was in the green room with him before he went on stage. I got footage of me being, you know, behind the stage, you know, while he's performing on it. And, I mean, you saw at the time, because he wasn't a Moneybagg he is now. Like, this was Moneybagg starting out, you know, just getting it. And now this dude is like a bona fide superstar. And to see that rise, to see that rise he made in 4 or 5 years is like just tremendous. I mean, yeah, you and Moneybagg got to do it for the town, man. Y'all got to do it for M-Town, man. Y'all got to make that happen somehow.
Yeah, he for sure on my playlist. Every day, he for sure on my playlist.
The game is you don't never know with these guys. Just like a couple years back, they were pretty much unknowns, and now they're like bona fide stars. It goes to show you that you never know who's going to get that break. That's why
you could be a boss there, one day and a bum. You could be a bum one day and a boss the next one. You'd be like, what? Back. How happy?
He got $10.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a little Moneybagg, man. You know, he
was
so.
What was it like? What was it like when you first heard him back in the day, Chad? Did y'all know that he was headed for where he was today?
I knew it. Yeah, I knew it. He was something different. I knew it. I said, this nigga, do he got a thesaurus or something? This nigga got wordplay. This nigga's been putting his words together. This nigga rapping with a dictionary. He got to be doing some different shit because this nigga right here is not playing. I knew he was something different. I knew he would be the person that I see today. And when I see him, I'd be like, God, like when I saw him walk, Florida out on his last fight, it made me feel like how I felt when I heard my song in Baby Boy. I was excited all over again. Like, man, go, Moneybagg, go, man. Yeah, man. Like, for real. It was exciting. I already knew he, you know, and he's humble. He talking shit now. But y'all got to know this man been getting money. This nigga is well paid. He never talked about it. He never been cocky. He always been humble. So the stuff that I see he's doing now, he doing it just so folks don't play with him. You feel what I'm saying? So he reminds me so much of me, like, y'all don't get it twisted. We do this shit for the hood, but don't think that we ain't living nice.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Being nice at the end of the day.
Yeah, and that's the most important thing. I mean, yeah, because people, you know, And a lot of times, man, you know, like you said, he didn't really put a lot of his personal business out there. How important is it for artists, you know, especially these new artists, to understand there are certain things you just, you know, that your business is not everybody's business? How have you managed to, you know, that's obviously something you follow. How do artists today need to follow that in terms of managing their personal affairs, keeping certain things out
it's
of the public
like,
eye?
You just got to remember always that the music is just entertainment. It's just like, you don't got to put people in your personal business. It's like, I'm going to tell y'all something that's all enough. Did you know I was married? Did you know I was a married woman? No.
We did.
So,
right.
So it's like, you know, you just got to know, man, you just do it for entertainment. You don't put people in your personal business. You just do your job. It's a job. It's entertainment. So once folks start getting your personal business, that's when people start, that's when shit go downhill. You know what I'm saying? And I respect my husband because he ain't fucked up about me not going live. I mean, I'm married. We've been married this long. We've been together 13 years. I've been married 8 years. He let me be me. You know what I'm saying? So that will work. That's when you hear Moneybagg say, that's why he likes his girl. She get it. He let him be her. You get some people that you be with, and they meet you as who you are, then they try to change you. You got to let that person be them. And you still can be successful without putting people in your personal business. You just keep being what they like you for. You didn't gain fans by them knowing your personal business. You gain fans by
right.
giving them what they do. You see what I'm saying? So you ain't got to give people your personal business to make money, to win, I heard. So that's how I learned. That's why I keep people out of my personal business, because I ain't know who to be personal. I use that as an example because I know y'all didn't know I was a married woman.
Nah, we didn't.
You hear me?
But by the same token, man, but that's something, especially being a celebrity, that can be hard in terms of keeping certain elements of your personal life out. And a lot of times we got so many people chat in this business who are so desperate to be famous in terms of everybody knows them, that they don't understand the dangers of that in terms of what it means.
Yeah,
you know,
their personal life. A lot of people lose their mind just by people being their personal life. So you got to know
yeah.
how to separate the personal from the entertainment. And then, you know, you just got to meet that person and let you be you. They know how, not just you know that it's entertainment. They got to know it's entertainment, too. That's the only way it's going to work.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but also, too, you know, it's always a thing about also, and you're absolutely right, Chad, from that personal aspect of, you know, finding somebody who's right for you who understands the life. But it's also from a perspective of that doesn't mean that you need to, you know, if a lot of these artists, they want to show everywhere they shopping or where they going. I'm like, listen, between crazy-ass fans and then, you know, niggas who want to jack you for shit, that's not safe to put everything out there. You know,
you lose doing that. You don't supposed to live a fantastic life. Never. You know, it ain't for the world to see. Why?
Right.
I never been a stunner. But people won't believe that. And we can't pause in the garage. We got cars all in front of the house. We got so many cars in the yard. But you know, that ain't what we do it for. You got to know if we doing it this long, you know, we getting our money. It ain't for the soul, the brain. And people respect you more, really, to me. I think people respect me more because I'm not the type to be trying to act like I'm stunning. I ain't stunning on nobody. I ain't downing nobody. I ain't trying to sign on nobody. I just want to make good music because I know where I come from. I come from the hustle. I come from the struggle. I'm always have my mind in that type of thing, regardless. But when you get to seeing me on Instagram and all that with money and all that, then I'm out of character. That ain't who I came to y'all to be. That ain't who I am. You know, for what? Do it for what? That ain't got nothing to do with music.
Yeah. And I think that's how
you start seeing more of them and less music. And then when they drop their music, they sell slow. It's like, yeah, you becoming a personality, but your music ain't hit no more. But we checking for the music.
I feel like that with Moneybagg, like, we see him starting now, but he never been that type of guy. But he had to do it because he had so many people downplaying him getting in his person business. So I said, well, folks in his person business, that stuff it really can throw you off track a little bit. So that's why you got to know how to separate your personal business from the music, from the entertainment. Because then you got to show a motherfucker. They're like me. Don't think, oh, man, what? They got one time to say, I'm gonna shut the internet down. They'll be like, oh, goddamn, we thought she wasn't mine. Yeah, don't play with me. Don't judge a book by a couple, but I ain't got nothing to prove. I ain't living life for nobody but me, God, and my children, and my husband. You know what I'm saying? But end of the day, that's how we get caught up. We try to prove a point. I don't got no point to prove to nobody. I just want to do good music. And if you fuck with me, man, fuck with me for fucking with me. Don't fuck with me for no other reason.
Yeah, and that's important, man, because a lot of times when people, because you really find out the people who really rock with you from a level of, you know, because the people that really know you know what you have. And the people that may not know, you want them to like you for who you are. Because a lot of times you may just pop out and surprise on them one day, you know. That's one thing, especially with, you know, King and myself, you know, in terms of us doing the show, you know. We got pictures with celebrities. Some of them we posted up. Some of them we haven't, you know. But, you know, in our social media presence for pushing the show, of course, this is our brand. You know, this is what we do. But we're not those guys out there that need to let everybody know what we're doing like that. You know, certain things, you know, is not for everybody to see. We do it. Our personal business is out there if it makes sense for the brand.
Yeah,
but other than that.
You're not going to see one of us.
Yeah, because people think that you're creating fans, but you're really creating haters. People don't like it.
Say that.
Yeah, you ain't going to see one of us going on the ground drinking gasoline. We ain't doing none of that.
I try to tell my son that all the time. Like, you ain't got nothing to prove. You think you're gaining fans, but you're really gaining haters. They hate to see you doing what you're doing. They hate to stay out there. You got nothing to prove.
And to be honest, Chat, you know, the fact is he's going to have haters from an end of you've done damn well throughout your career. You know, we're not going to get in your pockets, but we know you've done well, you know, and we know that. And he's grown up in an environment that has been very, very blessed for him in terms of having the resources he needs. You know, and support. You know, and when you have other individuals
so
out there,
I try to keep them from the street, but it's I can't take them away from me. And sometimes, like I said, I just got some fighting trouble for them. You know, all I can do is just try to allow them to be him and let them know that, you know, the reason why you get put up in these situations is because this ain't for life anyway. So you gonna let me make all the mistakes. I've already made all the mistakes that you're making. I try to tell you about them. I guess you want to make them yourself. You know what I'm saying? So it don't matter really what you give a child, how you give a child, everything in the world, they still got their own mind. They still going to be their own person. They still going to do what they want to do. You know, they still, as a mother, I ain't going to sit up and lie. My son that brought me plenty of pain as a good mother. You know, but I respect it. I respect it and I understand it because he's a young man and he has his own mind. And all I can do is just pray for him every day. He don't want to be caught up in the little chat my mama like. He don't want to be caught up in, I'm a rapper child. Like, he don't want it, you know. And in the long run, he going to wish he would have been on it. But, you know, I can't do nothing but just let him be him.
You know,
so being
you know,
a
chat,
mother in the industry, you got his pros, but you got his cons too. You know, you got some kids that be grateful. And be like, yeah, my mama just did that. But then you got some kids, which I can't take it away from them because even though I'm a superstar, I'm still street. I still get caught up. All my friends street. Ain't nobody around me fighting this or in the hood. You know, all my folks, we still street. So I get it. I didn't take them through private school. We might have a nice house, but we won in the blurs and all that. You see what I'm saying? So I get it. I get it.
Yeah. But one thing about it, Chat, and we've seen this a lot of times because it's, you know, when we look at celebrity kids, no matter what color, no matter who they are, it can be a very interesting psychological study because when you look at certain elements, because a lot of those kids grow up in, like when you look at the Hilton sisters, now Paris had her wildness. Nikki, on the other hand, was more business-minded, and you never see nothing about Nikki. You'll never hear nothing about Nikki caught up in nothing. You know, when you look at a lot of the, you know, some celebrities' kids, they are okay in terms of, okay, I don't need to be in the spotlight. You know, this has been afforded to me, and I'm good. And some we see get out there and do a lot of wild shit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and it's like, and it's something that, you know, it's all for a child. And I wanted to build off of this. We got a little bit of time left. But the thing about it is when you look at social media today, especially for a lot of these kids, is that when we look at American society and how we put emphasis on celebrity culture, obviously, what we do is entertainment, so I'm not going to knock the entertainment industry, but I think there has to be a standard of what we give respect to and what we are going to pay attention to. And we really, one thing I think kids today, Chad and King, really have to understand, it's okay to live a regular life. You know, it's okay to go to school and get an education. It's okay to work a regular job and do it the right way. You know, if that was not something you came up in terms of negativity, you're not going to understand it in terms of if you've never lived that life. And even if you've lived that life, you know the real dangers and how asymmetrical savage it is. Because the streets,
yeah, like
bullets
have
no...
I had to tell my son, since he's been out, like I said, I just brought him home for 4 years, February. So he's been working his job. He called me the other day, said, Mom, this dude on job told anybody I'm your son. I don't know why he tell these folks that. I said, well, guess what? You look like you're my son. You got two whips. You got a mouth full of gold. You got a mouth full of, you got a pocket full of money, and you change your shoes and your clothes every day. So what? And what? And you work a job. So what? So, yeah, they got to know it's okay to work a job still. You still your own person. You know, just because it's a matter of celebrity son, celebrity daughter, whatever, you still got to make your way out here. He said, like, they told everybody on your son. That's okay. Well, get what you look like, my son. You pulling up in two whips, Camaros, and all that. You got a mouthful of gold. Well, you losing it, and you getting your own money. He said, you right, Mom.
That's called wisdom right there. You know, that's called maternal wisdom. That's called that motherly love that is passed down. Chat, we are closing in on the end. This has been incredible.
What y'all don't know, this is the longest I have ever done an interview. Just to let y'all know, we've been on here 2 hours. Please thank y'all having me. Yes, I'm looking at the time, like 1:56. We it's been like 1:56. We've been on here 2 hours. So y'all done made history. Just the longest I have ever done an interview. I enjoy y'all. Y'all can follow me on Instagram. That's LACHAT_IG. Y'all can follow me at The Real Chat on Twitter. That's DareLLachat. Y'all also can book me at Little Chat Booking, LACHATBOOKINGS, at littlechatbookings@gmail.com. Y'all also can follow me on Facebook, Little Chat, you know. All them sites is ran by me. If y'all want to have some business, let me know. I'm not going to get on there and act like I'm your, no secretary or I'm somebody else. You are dealing with me. I am the boss. And if it's about some business, we will make it happen. So, and I appreciate y'all. I appreciate y'all for so much having me. I appreciate it.
Chat, you know, whatever, and those movie projects you got, Chat, you know, you got to come back and tell us about that once you got everything, you know, done up and ready to get released. So we got to have you back for part two to tell us about the process of all of that with it.
You got to, because this is so going down. It's for sure. This man of mine always thinking. So y'all make sure y'all go get that Drama Queen. It's out now. It's a project up on Diamond Duggan that I paid for, man, the beat, the features, everything. Through me, I got 100% of it, so y'all make sure y'all go download it, bump it, whatever. And a big shout-out to Off the Cuff Radio, man. I will do y'all some drops and send them to y'all tomorrow. So y'all will have them. And I appreciate y'all so much.
Appreciate you too so much. And, like, definitely. And, you know, you're welcome back anytime. And on that note, another incredible super show in the books on a Sunday, King. Go ahead, take us out of here.
Yeah, and on top of that, we also sent a classic article from the archives on T-Max. If they have, I think I sent that to your DM chat. So you can check that out. We also gonna repost that on our page.
Okay.
And I'm gonna definitely also hit you tomorrow about the drops too. So once again, it was dope to have you on for 440. We're going to have the full episode up on YouTube probably this week as well. So I'm going to send you that as well. So
okay.
We enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it as well. This was one of my off days. Like last night I had to do a judge in here in Memphis for 4 hours straight. So today was the day I cleaned house and washed and was just waiting to do this interview. So I was in a very, very good mood, and I appreciate y'all. So much because I ain't not like promo. Once again, back in the days, I ain't take it serious. But, hey, that promo is very important, so I thank y'all for allowing me to promote myself and promote where I am on y'all platform.
Definitely, and we appreciate you so much. Thank you again.
All right, y'all have a good night.
You too.
All right, good night.
We up out of here. Thank everybody for tuning in. Subscribe to us on Off the Cuff Radio YouTube channel. Follow us on Instagram. Type in Off the Cuff Radio together. All the letters together. No spaces. So we on that note. We out of here. Catch y'all this Friday. Or whenever.
Yeah, bye.
We out.